Now, Pastor Gary contacted me. I said, hey, man, I'm coming to town. And she said, hey, you want to speak? I said, sure, I would love to. It's always a privilege. I love Tapestry Church. He said, I said, what are you in? He says, well, we're in a series in the book of Colossians. You can either do that or you can do whatever you want. And I said, oh, okay, I'll look at it. So I put up Colossians in chapter 4, verse 1. It's about masters and slaves, bond servants. So I'm like, yep, I think I'm going to do my own. And but I'll read on. Then I got to verse 2. I'm like, oh, this is good. So we're going to start at verse 2, all right? Colossians chapter 4. Verse 2, and I'm reading from the ESV. It says, continue steadfastly in prayer, being watchful in it with thanksgiving. Let's say that together. It's on the screen. Continue steadfastly in prayer, being watchful in it with thanksgiving. Now, this word, continue steadfastly in prayer, it means to be courageously, courageously persistent. You know, if you're going to pray, you're going to have some courage. Be courageously persistent. Be diligent. One translation says, be devoted to prayer. Be devoted. So courageously persistent in prayer. Wow, I love that. 1 Thessalonians 5:17 says, pray without ceasing. The New Living Translation says, never stop praying. Never stop praying. You say, Kyle, how do we do that? I mean, we have to live. How do we never stop praying? How do we pray without ceasing? Do you know that we have the ability because our spirit person is the new creation? Paul says, behold, you're a new creation. Old is gone, the new has come. Your spirit has the ability. That's where the Holy Spirit lives, in your spirit, and they're in communion nonstop. You have the ability to be praying while you're having conversations with people. You have the ability to be praying right now while you're actively listening to what's the Word of God this morning. I have the ability to pray while I'm speaking the Word of God to you because it's our spirit that is praying. And you say, well, sometimes I just don't feel like praying. That's okay. Romans 8 says the Holy Spirit prays for you. And Romans 8 says also, not just the Holy Spirit, you get two out of the three. It says Jesus is praying for you. And he's praying to the Father. So we got all three. So pray without ceasing. You see, sometimes we want to separate prayer and just make it a prayer closet thing, which Scripture does teach. I think there is a place where you find where I get alone, whether it's in a closet or it's out in nature or wherever it may be for you. For me right now, it's out on a walk. Well, my walks, that's where I really spend time in prayer. That's my prayer closet, on a walk. But pray without ceasing. Be diligent in prayer. I love this. Brother Lawrence, some of you probably have heard of Brother Lawrence. And he gives this quote from his book, The Practice of the Presence of God. He says, the time of business does not differ with me from the time of prayer. And in the noise and clatter of my kitchen, while several persons are at the same time calling for different things, I possess God in as great tranquility as if I were on my knees. You can be in prayer all the time. Listen, when I'm meeting with people, I'm praying before they come. I'm praying while I'm with them. What am I praying for? God, let me hear what's not being said. That's really what's being said. God, give me understanding to what's going on in their life. God, I need wisdom. James 1, if anyone lacks wisdom, let him ask God, believing, and it'll be poured out on you from heaven. So you're praying for wisdom. You're praying. Your spirit is crying out to God while you're meeting with someone, while you're connecting with someone. Pray diligently. Pray courageously in a persistent way. Be devoted to prayer. Be devoted to prayer. So what keeps us from being devoted to prayer? By the way, George Barna, let me find this. George Barna in a survey said that, and this is obviously they didn't survey this church, because it cannot be true of this church. He said the average Christian prays 1 minute per day. If they did survey this church, that means a lot of people aren't praying at all, because this church would have brought the average up. But get this one. Listen to this. The average pastor prays 5 minutes per day. 5 minutes per day. Isn't that a little scary? We're called to be shepherds and lead people, care for them, intercede for them. 5 minutes per day. Wow, that's crazy. So what keeps us from being devoted to prayer, to being diligent in prayer, to being continued steadfastly in prayer? I want to give you a few things. First of all, I think it's a misunderstanding of prayer. It's a misunderstanding of prayer. Also, we tend to move towards independence. I don't know about you, but I like to think that I'm in charge of things. Is that correct? Is that some of you maybe too? And here's how we frame it sometimes. I'll go to God on the big things, but on the little things, I got all that. We tend to move towards independence. And as we move towards independence, we're declaring that we've got this, that I'm the little g God in my life right now. In fact, a failure to pray is a declaration of independence. Let that sink in. A failure to pray is a declaration of independence from God. Wow. So we sometimes aren't as devoted in prayer as we should be. We aren't persistent in prayer as we should be, because we move towards independence naturally, unless we're walking in the Spirit. Secondly, there's a misunderstanding of prayer. There's a misunderstanding of prayer. And this, sometimes we think of prayer like a slot machine. I'm just going to come to God with my needs, and that's all I'm doing. I'm ringing up some needs today. Bing, 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 bing. And that's all I'm doing. And that makes it hard to be persistent and be devoted in prayer. Are you with me? So it really does. So it's a misunderstanding of prayer. Matthew 6:9, the disciples, they spent a lot of time with Jesus Christ, 3 years, and they saw him do a lot of things, and they asked him to teach them one thing. Lord, teach us to pray. I think I would have gone for, Lord, can you guide me through the casting out demons process? I've seen a few. Could you help me, Lord? But no, teach us to pray. And so Matthew 6:9, Jesus gives what I call the model prayer. I love that. Many people call it the Lord's Prayer, but it's really a model for us. It's the disciples' prayer. It's a model. It begins with, Our Father who is in heaven, holy is your name. So we begin with worship and prayer. We begin by worshiping God. Let me ask you a question. Do you think you could worship God for more than 1 minute a day if you begin to worship him for who he is? Just for who he is. And then if you add in what he's done for you, you think you could get more than 1 minute a day? Yeah, so easy, isn't it? So easy. So we begin to worship him. Our Father who is in heaven, holy is your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. What are we saying? God, I want the reign of Christ to come to earth. We're praying for his return. That's one aspect. But we're also praying for the reign of Christ in our life. God, be in charge of my life today. Take control. I want you to reign over my life. I want you to be in charge of my life. And then we'll get into this a little more later, through the way we live, let heaven come to earth through me, God. as I look and see people and minister to people, let heaven come to earth today. So we begin with worship. Then we begin asking for his kingdom to come, his reign to come in our life, for Jesus himself to come back. Wouldn't that be great? But we don't wait till then. He says, ask for heaven to come now to earth. Jesus is coming one day. Isn't that great news? But we ask for his reign to come. And he says, provision. Ask for provision. It's interesting. He says, give us today our daily bread. It's much like the children of Israel in the wilderness. They had manna for the day. You know? I saw this meme the other day. I don't know if you've ever seen these. This couple's in bed and their backs are to each other. And she's, you know, the bubble's coming out of her head. He's probably thinking about another woman. And the bubble's coming out of his head. You know, the children of Israel had that manna. If they would have crumbled that up, they could have coated that on the quail, and they could have had breaded quail meat. And I'm like, that's so good. But give us today's provision. Give us today's provision. By the way, if you're focusing on tomorrow's provision, you know what that's going to produce in you? Anxiety, fear, worry. But he says, ask me for today's provision. Tomorrow, I'll be there before you get there. I'm already there. So when you arrive, I'll be there. Live in today. So we ask for provision. Then we ask for forgiveness. Or if I need to forgive anyone. By the way, this is the biggest block to our prayer life, is unforgiveness. It really is. If you've not been through the freedom process here at Tapestry, you've got to go through freedom. It's my favorite thing to do in the church, is go through freedom group and then the freedom conference and get set free. It's amazing. But the thing that hinders us the most is unforgiveness. It's not letting go of people and in crisis on the cross. Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. Stephen says, as he's being stoned, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. So forgiveness. Then protection. Lord, don't let me fall into temptation today. Protect me from the evil one. And so just that prayer alone, listen, I've timed it out. If you just spend some time in that model, it's easy to pray over 30 minutes. I mean, easy. And here's how I do it. So I get to begin to worship God. I praise him first just for who he is. I call out his names. And then I praise him for what he's done and is doing and will do. And then when I get to your kingdom come, I go through every member of my family. Lord, where your kingdom come, what you desire in heaven, let it happen in Melanie's life today. Let it happen in Emily's life today, in Olivia's life today, in Justin's life today, in Garrett's life today. And I go through by name and people I'm praying for Pastor Gary, for Pastor Gina. Let it, what you desire in heaven, let it happen in their lives today here on earth. And you see how this begins to build, and all of a sudden you're being devoted to prayer. Your time in your prayer closet, whatever that may be, is growing because you're following this incredible model and you realize that I'm not moving towards independence. I want to move towards dependence. I need God. Just like I was when I was a 12-year-old for the first time, and I realized I need Jesus. We all need Jesus. Isn't that true? It doesn't matter what you've got today. You need Jesus. We all do. So it's a lack of understanding of prayer sometimes really affects our prayer life. Turn to Luke chapter 2 and verse 28. Sometimes we get so caught up in prayer that we're just praying for things. But we're missing the real point of prayer. It's a relationship. It's a relationship with the Father, with the Son, and with the Holy Spirit. And by the way, you ever had someone tell you, man, that prayer didn't get through the roof? It doesn't need to get through the roof. The Holy Spirit lives in you. That's why we bow our heads when we pray. You're talking to him in you. But sometimes we're so caught up in things, we forget what's most important. There's a great story in Luke chapter 2 about this guy named Simeon and this lady named Anna. Simeon had ordered his life around prayer, a specific prayer, that he would see the Messiah. And the Holy Spirit, the Bible says he was filled with the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit told him, you will live until you see the Messiah. So he's at the temple one day, led by the Spirit to the temple, and Mary and Joseph come in with baby Jesus. And he takes the baby in his hand, and listen to what he says. He says, he took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace according to your word, for my eyes have seen your salvation that you have prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for the glory of your people, Israel. He ordered his whole prayer life around, Father, I want to see the Messiah. And he saw him as a baby. His prayer was answered. And he was, God, you can take me to heaven now. What did he want more than anything? He wanted Jesus. He wanted to see Jesus. That was the first coming of Jesus. You ever thought if we were to orient our lives around the second coming of Jesus, praying for that, what that could do to our lives? The Bible gives us some real clear answers. It says, one, it'll purify our lives. If we begin to pray for his second coming, for his return, it'll increase our desire to see more and more people come into the kingdom of God, to receive Jesus Christ and receive forgiveness of sins. If we begin to pray for a person, not just for things. Jesus, come back. Come back, Jesus. What if we prayed that every day? What a difference that would make in our lives. Now, the early church thought that Jesus was coming back in their lifetime. But you remember, 1,000 years is this one day with the Lord. So it's only been 2 days since Jesus went up to heaven. I mean, it's only been 2 days. Come on. I remember when I was a kid, you know, the whole group said the Lord's going to come back before 1981. I was in high school. We prayed that down because we wanted to get married. <We're> just, Lord, hold off, hold off, hold off. Yeah. Mm. Can I get an amen? Amen. All right. You're saying, Kyle, that's not good. Yeah. So a misunderstanding of prayer. What if we just went after Jesus? It's a relationship. I want to spend time with him every day. By the way, that means prayer is talking to him and then listening. It's a relationship. Secondly, thirdly, one of the reasons we don't stay persistent in prayer is a misunderstanding of faith. A misunderstanding of faith. Turn to Matthew chapter 17. Matthew chapter 17. In Matthew 17, we have a story of Jesus healing a boy who's filled. He's possessed by a demon. The disciples have tried to heal this boy, and they were not able to. And Jesus cast the demon out, and the boy's okay. And here's the dialogue, picking up with verse 20 or verse 19. Why could we not cast it out? Jesus responded, he said to them, because of your little faith. For truly I say to you, if you have faith like a grain of mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move, and nothing will be impossible to you. Go back to that first part of verse 20. And he said to them, they asked, why couldn't we not cast out? Because of your little faith. I want to see two things from this verse. First of all, we only need a little faith. You ever seen a mustard seed? If I was holding one right here, you'd have a hard time seeing it. It's very small. But many theologians believe in verse 20 when he says, because of your little faith. It's not just talking about the size of the faith, but it's talking about how long they kept their faith in the action. So if you have a little faith, but you keep it in the game, watch out. And here's what happens, our misunderstanding of faith. We are guided by, driven by, controlled by our five senses. If we can't touch it, we can't see it, if we can't smell it, we can't taste it. Did I miss one? What did I miss? Hear. If we can't hear it, thank you. If we can't hear it, we're like, well, God didn't move. You remember when Jesus went over to this fig tree, wanted some figs, and it was not, there were no figs? He cursed that thing? Nothing happened to it. The next morning they're walking by, that baby's dead. What happened? He's already dead. It's dead in the roots. It showed up on top the next day. It showed up on top the next day. You see, sometimes we'll ask God for something, and if we, with our five senses, don't get it immediately, we take our faith out of the game. And to be diligent in prayer, to be courageously persistent in prayer, you got to keep your faith, whether it's little like a mustard seed or a big faith. You got to keep it in the game. You got to keep it close to what you're asking for. You got to keep believing, whether I can see it, whether I can taste it, whether I can touch it, whether I can feel it, whether I can hear it. It doesn't matter yet, because this is what God's word says. Now listen, the Bible says if you ask anything according to his will, it will happen. And if it's in the word for you, then it will happen. But you got to keep your faith in the game with that. So you find yourself being lonely all of a sudden. I'm just filled with loneliness. And you go back to put your faith in the game. Jesus says, I will never leave you or forsake you. I am with you always. And so you attach your faith, however big it may be, to that promise. And you don't rely on what you're feeling in that moment. That's what faith is. That's what faith is. You're seeking the Lord. You need provision for that day. I mean, there's so many stories in the history of the church. That day provision, they kept their faith in the game. It could have been little. It could have been huge. It doesn't matter. You got to keep it attached to what you're praying for, regardless of what your senses tell you. So this is a lack of understanding sometimes we have about faith. I love this. I learned this probably 4 or 5 years ago, this acronym, PUSH. Pray until something happens. Just keep your faith in the game. You know what I do every day? I call down all of heaven upon this ringing in my ears. This side's gone. This side's still there. I call it down for my wife's ears. Tinnitus, you don't belong here. I don't have to put up with you. Jesus died on the cross, so he says, I've already been healed. So I'm going to keep my faith in the game. Whether my senses tell me it's healed yet or not, I claim every day that I have been healed of this tinnitus. And you know what? There's going to be a day when that tinnitus is gone. I mean, in Daniel chapter 9, Daniel prayed a prayer. And if you read that prayer, if you read it out loud and time it, it takes you about 3 minutes. At the end of that prayer, boom, the angel's standing before him. That's good. That's how we like it, right? That's how we want it. A little fast food prayer. Come on. And, you know, we want it fast. You go to Daniel 10. He fasted and prayed for 21 days. From the moment he prayed, though, God dispersed the answer. That's right. but it was held up in the second heaven by the prince of Persia, and there was a war. Gabriel had to come to deliver the messenger to get to Daniel 21 days later. Do you know what? For most of us, 21 days later means we have removed our faith from the game. Well, I guess it's the way God wants me to be. I guess it's the situation God wants me to be in. We live in a part of East Tennessee, not far from us. I mean, within 30 minutes, there's extreme poverty. But more than that, there's a spirit of poverty that says to them, this is all I will ever have. I cannot escape this. It's a lie. It's a lie. But you got to keep your faith in the game to claim the word of God. God says, I'll meet all your needs. I'll provide for you. But you got to keep your faith in the game. You got to keep it attached. Whether it's little or big, keep it attached. So it's a misunderstanding of faith sometimes. Wow. So misunderstanding of faith. Let's go on in verse 2 of chapter 4. It says, continue steadfastly in prayer, being watchful. This word, this phrase, being watchful, means be alert. Being watchful. Be alert. And I want to real quickly just hit this. One, stay awake. Do whatever you got to do to stay awake in prayer. By the way, if you have a hard time sleeping, start praying. You'll go sleep at night. But in other times, be alert. Walk, write, whatever you got to do, be alert in prayer. Okay? But it's more than that. Be watchful. You're praying already. Lord, your kingdom come. What you desire in heaven come to earth. Be watchful. Where you live, work, study, shop, and play, God has you on a mission. And there's people he's going to put in your path. If you're watchful, if you're alert, if you're listening, as you're having conversation with God, the Holy Spirit's going to speak to you. Hey, I want you to talk with that person. I want you to encourage that person. I want you to buy that person's drink. Listen. Be alert. Be watchful. He has so much more for us that makes this life exciting, makes every day exciting. But we miss it. Let me tell you a quick story. I was getting into this. I was learning, growing in the area of healing when we lived here in Virginia Beach. And that's what got me in trouble. And one of the ways I get words of knowledge about healing is I begin to get pain in my body that I don't normally have. So all of a sudden, you know, my left elbow began to hurt. And I didn't do anything to cause my left elbow to hurt, so I know there's someone I'm going to meet that day that needs me to pray over their left elbow. So I'm out on a run one day. I'm like, God, this is new to me. I'm just growing in this. So if you're going to grow about being alert, being watchful, you got to grow in it. You got to practice. And you'll practice and you'll fail sometimes, and you'll practice and you'll gain ground sometimes. So I'm out on a run. I'm like, Lord, show me someone to pray for. I'm so excited. Bring on the pain. Come on. Woo! And I'm not talking about running pain. I'm talking about bring on the pain, Lord. And I see this person running towards me. I'm like, oh, God, what do you have for them, Lord? What do you have? All of a sudden, my back began to hurt. Like, oh, my goodness, right down here. And I'm like, Lord, give me someone to pray for, Lord. And they come by. They get close. I said, hey, how you doing? My dad taught me to say hi to everybody. I say hi to everyone. Hey, how you doing, man? I just kept on running by. Lord, give me someone to pray for. And I get down about 250 yards. Lord said, I just did. You missed it, bro. Oh, that's what that pain was. I missed it. I turn around. They're gone. I take off again. Lord, I got 6 more miles. Give me someone to pray for. I missed it. I'm slow sometimes. Mel and I have some friends in Knoxville. They live a different life than I do. They actually pray about where they're going to eat. Like, I text Mel, hey, what are you hungry for? You know that routine. You know how that goes. Oh, anything. Anything. I'm thinking Victor's. Oh, not Victor's. But anyway, we've developed a plan. She gave me her top three, and I'll pick one. And so this couple, Stephen and Michelle, they'll say, hey, Holy Spirit, where do you want us to go to dinner? Because they believe they're on assignment. That's being alert. That's being watched for. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Would you like to live the abundant Christian life? That's part of it right there. Being watchful, being alert. And then lastly, continue steadfastly in prayer, being watchful in it with thanksgiving. 1 Thessalonians 5:18 says, give thanks in everything, for this is the will of God for your life. Give thanksgiving. And you know, if you look at verse 3 there, Paul talks about praying for him that he could share the gospel for an open door of opportunity. That's being watchful, being alert. We can't pray for Paul to do that anymore. But we can pray for each other to do that. To be watchful, to be alert, to have a door of opportunity. And begin to give thanks for those opportunities. God, I thank you that today, Pastor Jen's going to have an opportunity to share the gospel with someone, to share her story. Oh, yes, I thank you. I thank you that today that Wayne is going to meet someone, and he's going to be able to pray for them, and they're going to be healed. With thanksgiving. You know what thanksgiving does in our life? I don't know about you, but I'm like the Apostle Paul. He said, I'm good in most of the commandments except that one about do not covet. I like things. You like things? Yeah. You know what the Lord's taught me to do every day? First of all, when I come out of my house, we have a mat that tells me what to take with me. Glasses, phone, keys, wallet, and I still forget. I come back in, hey, I'm back. And anyone else do that? Yeah. And so did you read the mat? No, I didn't read the mat today. And as I walk by my wife's car, I say, God, thank you for this car. As I get in my car, 2014 Subaru Forester, God, thank you for my car. Because you know what? If I don't say thank you for that car, that big F-150 is going to pull up beside me, and I'm going to covet. That Jeep with those big 35s on it going to pull up. Ooh, man, I'm coveting. There's nothing wrong with those things, right? But God wants me to be thankful for what I have. And that thankfulness keeps me from coveting. Just be thankful. You thankful for your house? Your apartment? You thankful for your car? Can I bless your marriage today? Just be thankful for your spouse. You know what a difference that would make? If every day you said, God, I thank you for my spouse. Oh my goodness, that would be huge. Thank you for my kids. Oh, thank you for the people I get to minister today. Ah, oh, thank you for my church. You know what? If you thank God every day for your church, you're going to love your church. You really will. Be devoted to prayer. Tapestry, can we raise the national average? Yes. Huh? Pastor Gary, Pastor Jen, can you raise the national average of pastors? Yes. I didn't hear it. I need an affirmative. Yes, okay. As an overseer, I need to hear it out loud. This is like on the plane. Yeah, I need to hear verbal consent. Let me pray over you. God, thank you, Jesus, when you died on the cross, the veil of the temple tore in two. So we have access to you, Father, through the true high priest, Jesus Christ. Today, tomorrow, help us to be continually praying and in conversation with you. Teach us to pray. Give us diligence in prayer. May the world around us change as heaven comes to earth here in Virginia Beach as we're walking in prayer. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.